in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to This Miraculous Life on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Oliveri Olumba. I have my master's degree in positive psychology, which is basically the scientific study of human thriving. And for the past 2 years, I have been voted best life coach in Washington, D.C. So I started this podcast because what I really want for all of us is to be able to liberate ourselves from the bullshit, you know, all the crap that we kind of collect as we go through our lives in our brains, how we interpret the world around us, and for all of us to be able to tune in with what life really is, which is a profound and miraculous gift. So each episode, I will be responding to real life problems, questions, even good news, with practical, sometimes science-based, honest, and real feedback about how to go about tuning in with the miraculousness of life and tuning out the bullshit. So today we will be hearing from a basket case boyfriend who has sent me a letter with some questions and some desires. So I already sort of admire him for his sign off to the letter. I feel like he has both a sense of self-awareness and a sense of humor. So here we go. Let's hear from basket case boyfriend. Dear Sarah, I need some advice, tips, strategies, insights, or something. This is about how to balance self-care with a stressful work life while maintaining a healthy relationship. I ask because I'm having some problems in my relationship. There may be several sources of the problem, but the most obvious to me is that my girlfriend is increasingly stressed at work, and it's spilling over into our relationship. She regularly works overtime, weekends, and frequently gets dumped with extra work and projects by more senior employees. By all accounts, her work situation sucks. But, like many young people, she feels the need to work hard, perform well for her superiors, and to make a mark to get ahead. It's gotten to the point that what used to be frequent complaints about her work are now becoming emotional breakdowns. When she complains to me about her work, I try to listen and give my two cents, which she does not seem to find useful. Her stress and emotional stability has become so fragile that I have to walk on eggshells, which I am not good at, so as not to set off a breakdown. We are getting into more frequent fights and failing to communicate effectively on what I deem as minor issues. I am also becoming less patient and tolerant of her complaints about work and the emotional roller coaster that she is taking us on. She accuses me of not being there for her, but I am powerless to improve her situation at work, and I'm getting frustrated that she doesn't seem to be taking steps to change the situation or remove herself from it. While she is increasingly bringing her stress from outside the relationship to inside the relationship, her job is obviously making her and now us miserable. I don't know what she is waiting for to just quit her job, take a fucking break, and restore her health. Until then, what am I supposed to do? Please provide all the answers. Thanks. Regards, Basket Case Boyfriend. Wow, let's just take that in for a moment. And Alexia, the studio engineer, is here in the studio with us. She was listening to Basket Case Boyfriend's write-in as well. Any initial reactions, Alexia?
Again, I just want to say the level of self-awareness, yes,
right,
is very impressive. Yeah, I'm ready for you to dive in, Sarah.
Awesome. Me too. Yeah, when we initially got this letter, I know that what we were expecting was that the letter was going to be about a basket case boyfriend, not from a basket case boyfriend. So that's next level. So basket case boyfriend, but in all seriousness, I think that you are dealing with something that every one of us has dealt with to some extent. You know, in every person who has had a relationship, which everybody has had some sort of a relationship, a friendship or romantic relationship, but particularly in romantic relationships, we have all had an experience in which the person that we are with, the person that we are close to, is experiencing something stressful or difficult, and that stress that they are experiencing begins to affect us, right? I want to share an insight that I learned from my student advisor in college, which I thought was just one of the most brilliant things I've ever heard, which was we were talking about how everybody thinks that they want to be in a relationship and being in a relationship will solve all of their problems. And, you know, life will just sort of like immeasurably improve when you have a romantic partner. And what she said, everybody has problems. And when you're in a relationship, somebody else's problems become your problems. And all of a sudden, you've got twice as many problems. So I thought that was just excessively accurate and sort of a wake-up call of the reality of, you know, what it means to be in a relationship, which is there's a lot of amazing things, but there is also significant, you know, challenges, added stress. The truth is, when you're with somebody, if you care about them and they're having a hard time, you know, it's probably going to affect you to some extent. But I do want to address that in the letter, how we can take responsibility for our own emotional health, even if we're around somebody who's having a difficult time. So let's dive in. There's a number of things, basket case. There's actually so much juicy stuff in this short letter that you've shared. So there's a few things I want to talk about. I do want to talk about communication, because just from the letter that you wrote, I can sense maybe where there's some communication gaps. And I want to share some tools and strategies that the research on relationships can help us to function better, because I think those things are not necessarily intuitive. I also want to talk about, you know, being on the same page as the person that you're in a relationship with, exploring values and what our own values are, but also the values of the person that we're in a relationship with. And, you know, what to do when we're not sure whether those are compatible. And then lastly, you know, I do want to talk about the question that maybe it's on your mind, maybe it's not, basket case, but I think it's probably on everybody's mind who's listening, which is, how do we know when to continue a relationship and when a relationship should not be continued? So I want to talk about all those things, because I think that they come up to some extent in your letter, basket case. So let's start with the communication, because I think that is sort of foundational and pretty basic. It's not as much of an existential question, and I think we can all improve something here, which is, so I'm taking a look at your letter, basket case, and you say some things that make me think you may be trying to help your girlfriend or solve her problem as opposed to just creating space for her emotion. And this is a challenge that comes up in every relationship, but especially every heterosexual relationship. So here's the deal. Here's what tends to happen, especially in heterosexual relationships, which is that females are typically better at empathizing and having emotional responses, right? They're better, A, at sharing emotion, But B, when somebody shares emotion with them, they tend to be better at empathizing or sympathizing. Some people take a sort of negative approach to the word sympathizing, but to me, it just means like seeing somebody's pain and feeling for them, right? So here's what the research says about how we want people to respond when we're having a challenge, a setback, a difficulty, a pain point. The research says, both for men and for women, that when we go to somebody and we share a pain that we're experiencing, like we share, oh, my boss did this really crazy thing at work and he insulted me in front of everybody and then he gave me an extra project to do without even asking if I was available, right? So when we go home and share that with our partner or with anybody, what are we looking for? Alexia, any thoughts, any responses? What would you be looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I want my partner to like share in my pain, ask me questions about, you know, how am I feeling? What am I thinking now? Just like really be there with me, almost as if it was their own experience.
Yeah. Wow, that's good, Alexia. So that's very honest and I think a very self-aware response. And I think, yeah, Alexia hit it on the head. When we go and we share our pain with somebody, whether we know it or not, what the research says is that the only response that we really want and that makes us feel good about having shared our pain and then in turn better about that relationship in which we've shared the pain is a response of empathy or sympathy. So the Gottmans, who are the leading researchers on romantic relationships, John Gottman was basically the first psychologist to study romantic relationships and actually try to understand what differentiates relationships that thrive from relationships that fall apart. Okay, before him, nobody was doing that. All of the relationship advice was just like guesswork. So what John Gottman discovered and the way he translates it is that when our partner shares a pain with us, the correct response essentially translates into, aw, poor baby. So this is what we as humans are desirous of, whether we like it or not. And you may be thinking, well, not me. That's not what I want. But let's be honest with ourselves. If you go home and you tell your partner about a really shitty thing that you experience, and then their first reaction is, well, did you tell this to your boss or have you tried this? Or how about next time if you do this, right? How does that make us feel? Does that make us feel like, oh, good, thank you for enlightening me about how to avoid this pain and this problem in the future? Nah, that's not what we want. We're emotional creatures. So when somebody shares their pain with you, the correct response is always to simply give empathy and sympathy. So basically, basket case boyfriend, the line in your letter that let me know maybe you're struggling with this is when you said, I try to listen and give my two cents, which she does not seem to find useful. So this is my way of saying you are correct. Giving your two cents is probably not going to be useful to you or to her. And the best thing that you can probably do is just shut up and listen, you know? And if you're having a hard time conjuring that sympathy or that empathy, that's okay. Just listening and asking a question or two is enough. And it also goes a lot further than trying to fix or solve the problem. So that's number one. And I want you to try it on for size. The other good news about that is that it relieves the pressure from you. It is not your responsibility to solve your girlfriend's problem, nor is it probably a possibility, right? So you can just excuse yourself from that project. And the next time she shares a pain with you, remember, the correct response is, aw, I'm really sorry that you had a shitty day. You know, do you want to tell me any more about that? or like, oh, your boss is such a jackass, you know, or like, I'm sorry you're having such a hard time, right? And try to create that space to listen. But the advice comes only when solicited. So I want to give a quick personal example of this, which is that this has happened in my own life. My husband used to get really bothered when I would cry. Pretty much any time when I would shed a tear, he would be like, what is this? You know, the crying has got to stop, and jump into either telling me why it wasn't worth crying about or solving my problem. And I think what had happened, what we later realized, we've been together like 8 years now, so these things take some time. But what we later realized is that his interpretation was that when I shed a tear, I am doing that almost like for him, right? Almost like to solicit a certain response from him. And that simply wasn't true. When I would cry, I would most often be crying just because that was my own authentic response, right? And so we came to a great evolution, I think, which is that he has taught me that not everything is worth crying about. For example, I used to bawl out when we got a parking ticket. And, you know, if I'm being frank, I still want to cry when I get an expensive parking ticket. But my amazing husband has taught me that a parking ticket is not a thing worth sobbing over. But what I have taught him is that crying is a natural and healthy human response, right? It is a healthy human mode of emotional expression. And so what we came to is that he felt a lot of pressure to respond and fix every time that I would cry. And I would share with him, look, when I'm crying, I'm not crying to solicit a reaction from you. I just want you to give me space to feel how I feel. And so he said, almost, I think, sarcastically, he was like, well, would it be better if when you cry, I ignored you? And I was like, yes, that would be excellent. If you could just ignore me when I am having an experience that I feel like I need to cry about so that I have the freedom to feel however I feel, that sounds great. Let's give it a try. So we gave it a try, and truth be told, that is working excellently. When I'm having my own emotional experience and I don't go to him and say like, this is what's happening, you know, I'm not even necessarily looking for anything from him. All I want is the liberty to feel how I feel. So I think that that plays in basket case boyfriend, that the only response that is not only helpful, but that is will have a positive impact on the relationship when somebody comes to you with a pain is a response of sympathy or empathy. But also, if they're not even coming to you and they're just having their own experience of pain, then you don't have to respond at all, right? But what you do have to do is give them space. It's not fair to expect that your partner feel happy just so that you don't feel unhappy. Does that make sense? Alexia in the studio, what do you think?
That makes a lot of sense. I'm here for that. Yeah.
Cool. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that second key point, which is values. Do you and your partner values align, or maybe not so much? Welcome back. This is This Miraculous Life with Sarah Oliveri Olumba. We are hearing today from basket case boyfriend, who is experiencing some relationship woes due to the fact that his girlfriend has a very stressful job, which is causing her to bring a lot of stress and emotional instability into the relationship. And from the sounds of our letter, Basket Case Boyfriend is growing a bit fed up, if I may say so myself. So, Basket Case, here is the second thing that I wanted to explore. So, you know, I gave you the idea of how to communicate what the best response is in the face of a partner or a friend sharing pain with us. By the way, not always easy to give that response. It is difficult to bite our tongue and to just be empathetic. But it is, you know, that's pretty basic, right? That's just, how do I communicate to have the best possible outcome of this particular conversation or interaction? How do I communicate in a way that is going to allow the person I'm communicating with to feel positively about their connection with me? But your letter does hint at some things, Basket Case, that run a little bit deeper than that, which is, you know, yes, it's important to communicate in a way that nurtures the relationship, but before really only relying on that, you need to know whether this relationship is what you want to nurture, frankly. So I want to explore the concept of values. And you hint in your letter, I'm sort of reading between the lines, so hopefully I'm reading accurately, but you hint at your letter that perhaps you and your girlfriend have some different values. So I want to read some lines that hint at that to me. You say, Basket Case Boyfriend, but like many young people, she feels the need to work hard, perform well for her superiors, and make a mark to get ahead. And then you also say later in the letter that you're getting frustrated because she doesn't seem to be taking steps to change the situation, remove herself from it, and she's increasingly bringing that stress into the relationship. You say her job is obviously making her miserable. I don't know what she's waiting for, to just quit her job, take a fucking break, and restore her health. Okay, so here's what these lines of the letter are saying to me. These lines of the letter are saying, if it were you, Basket Case, you would have quit a long ass time ago, right? Alexi, are you hearing what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I totally hear it. Yeah. He doesn't get it, right? He's just like, why are you here? What are we doing? Why do you value this and this experience?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, he doesn't get it. Like, why didn't she leave a long while ago? And why might he not get it? Well, I think he might not get it because whatever value is keeping his girlfriend at that job is not a value that perhaps Basket Case shares. And the way in which you speak about this, so I'm going to introduce a concept that I work on a lot with myself and my clients in life coaching, which is understanding two things. Understanding first what I call our core values. And I believe each individual has a set of core values, which are deep down inside them. We wouldn't know what they are without really exploring and drilling down and trying to sort of distill the best language to describe those things. But my belief is that all of us have these core principles that are uniquely important and essential for us to organize our life around in order to feel deeply satisfied, right? In order to feel like we are living our best life, as they say, or to feel like we're living in a way that's meaningful and not a fucking waste of time is probably the best way that I could put it. When I'm living aligned with my values, I never feel like I'm wasting my time. Never. When I'm living aligned with my demons, so I'm going to get into that. When I'm living aligned with my demons, then I'm going to often feel like I'm wasting my time, or often feel inferior, often maybe even feel superior, right? But I'm on a bit of a roller coaster. So each individual, I believe, has core values, these core operating principles that are deep, sort of meaningful principles around which to base our way of life and our life decisions. For example, some of my personal core values are freedom, alignment with God, gratitude, right? So those are principles that I want to infiltrate into every aspect of my life and be a tool for making my decisions. On the other hand, I also believe that each and every one of us, unless, you know, we've fully achieved enlightenment, which maybe some of you have, more power to you, each and every one of us has these quote unquote demons. And what the demons are other values that we've learned or acquired along the way that are also operating principles around which we base our life and make our decisions. However, the demons are not what we personally believe in most deeply and most fully, are never going to be a satisfying source of fulfillment, and do not make us feel like we are living our best life. So, for instance, some of my personal demons are attractiveness, right? My looks, or likability, being liked by other people. A lot of people have demons around status, how I'm doing compared to others, right? Financial wealth, I think, is usually often a demon as well. So this is a concept that I think is relevant to addressing what is going on in this letter, because basket case. So I sense that whatever is driving your girlfriend to stay at her job is not a value that you share. But in addition, I sense that basket case, you believe that the quote unquote values that are driving your girlfriend to stay at her job are actually demons, right? You do not see those as core, deep, important values. You think she is being driven to stay in this role because of these negative values, right? Or these values that are in her, but that are the ones that she should actually be steering away from or neglecting. And the truth is, she may or may not see it that way. And that may or may not even be true. The only person who can find that out is her, okay? So her staying at this job where she keeps getting loaded with extra work, that could be driven by a core value. It could be driven by a core value of challenging herself. It could be driven by a core value of resilience. It could be driven by a core value of determination, right? It could be driven by any of those things. And that could potentially be a part of what she considers her deepest and truest self and an essential component of a fulfilling life. But on the other hand, as you kind of imply, basket case, it's true that her decision to keep taking on this stress and not leave her job could also be driven by a demon. So it could be driven by a demon of professional status. It could be driven by a demon of how she's doing compared to others. It could be driven by a demon of security, right? I think security is for many people a demon because it gets in the way of taking risks, healthy risks that might be satisfying for them. So the bottom line is her choice to stay or go, basket case boyfriend, it might be driven by a core value. It might be driven by a demon, but her choice to stay or go is not aligned with your values. Okay. So what I would recommend in this scenario is that both you and your girlfriend do some soul searching. And it's true that you can't make your girlfriend do any soul searching. So really, you have to do the soul searching, basket case boyfriend. And what I would want you to soul search is honing in on your personal core values. What are those four or five words that represent the principles around which are most important for you to orient your life? Okay. And I think it's also valuable to understand your demons and understand if that's contributing to your judgment of your girlfriend. And once we know what our core values are, here's what I say about how core values are relevant to our relationship. It is not, I would say, realistic or reasonable to expect to find a partner who has the exact same core values as us, right? That's not a thing. There's like, I have no idea how many words in the English language, but there are a lot. And many of them can represent core values. So for me to expect to find a partner who has the same five core values that represent who they are as a person as me, that seems not real, not cool. Like, you know, I'm basically just looking for a clone type of thing. But what is, I think, realistic, and not only realistic, but frankly essential, is to find a partner in whom you can see your core values. So here's how that works. Basically, it's like you have these core values. I'm going to give an example. My husband has in the past said that one of his core values is growth. And one of my core values is not growth, right? Like, growth is not the thing that I feel is most authentic to me to orient my life around in order to feel like I am living my best life. But as you heard me mention earlier, one of my core values is alignment with God. Okay. Another one of my core values is love. Okay. So if I am orienting my life around love or alignment with God, what does that mean? It means in practice that I am always fucking growing. I'm constantly growing whether I like it or not, because if I'm not growing, then I'm not living into those other values. You know, you see, I have not yet achieved being the most loving version of myself, nor do I think that I ever will. So I am constantly faced with not only opportunities, but if I'm living into my values, necessities to grow. And so when my husband looks at me, and I remember early on when we started dating, he's like, wow, you know, you are all about growth. You're all about personal growth and improving who you are and figuring out the meaning of life and like doing better as an individual. And I am about figuring out the meaning of life, but doing better as an individual, actually not so much. However, because of what I do value, I have to do that. So he sees his values reflected in me. So is this making sense? Alexia in the studio, what do you think?
That makes a ton of sense, I think. You have to see those things that are important to you mirrored in the other person. And I think just going back to what you said earlier in the show of like your problems become someone else's problems. In order to cope with problems, you tap into what your values are and what you orient your life around. So when, you know, such as this letter here, when problems arise within the relationship or within their own, you know, own spheres, it's like, right, what do you tap into? Those values. And then this is where I think that schism might occur. That's just what, right, I'm hearing.
No, that makes, yeah, I think that that's a great interpretation. Yeah, it's like the values during times of stress, perhaps the values become even more relevant. Yeah, and if we're dealing with a stress together and we're looking towards conflicting values, then that might be problematic. Exactly. Yeah, so that's what I'm getting at, Basket Case, which is that it is not realistic or even important that your girlfriend have the same values as you and like name the same words, but it is important that none of the things that your girlfriend claims as her core values clash or in direct conflict with what you have claimed as your core values. So basically, it's like you want to find a partner who is accidentally living into all of your core values, right? Like if you look at them, you would be like, oh, this person has the exact same core values as me. but they don't really. It's just that the values they do have yield similar priorities and behaviors and ways of showing up in the world to your values. Okay, so that's the bottom line. You don't have to have the same values as your partner, but what you do need to have is a partner whose core values, what they think is most essentially themselves and the formula for thriving, those values cannot clash or be in conflict with your core values. And that also requires us to know what our core values are. So the last thing that I want to get into today is this big, fat, old question of how do I know in my relationship when it is time to stay and invest and push forward and when it's time to go? So let's take a quick break and we will come back and answer that age-old question. Welcome back to This Miraculous Life with Sarah Oliveri Olumba, and we are hearing from Basket Case Boyfriend. And I promised that I would answer a question about how to decide whether to continue or end a relationship. And Basket Case, this may seem a little bit out on a limb for a letter, the letter that you sent me. So if it is, know that I'm answering this question not just for you, but also for all of our listeners who have ever dealt with this question, which I think everybody who's ever had a more than one relationship has dealt with this question. So for anybody who didn't marry the first person, and even for those who did, frankly, the first person that they ever had a romance with, this question has become relevant, which is, how do I know if it is the right answer to continue in my relationship or if the right answer is to discontinue the relationship? Let me point to some of the lines in your letter that make me think this may be on the table, Basket Case, which is, you say you're powerless to improve the situation. You're getting frustrated. And you say you are becoming less patient and tolerant, right? So the tone of this letter, Basket Case, is not just a bit of desperation. The tone of this letter, I think I said it earlier, is a bit of, I'm fed up, okay? I'm like sick of this shit. And something has got to change in order for us to move forward. And here's the deal, Basket Case. Everything that we do in this life is a choice. And we owe it to ourselves to embrace that and be aware of it, particularly in our relationships, that if we are in a relationship, we owe it not only to ourselves, but also to that other person to, rather than think, you know, you're so lucky that I am staying with you through all of this crap, right? Or, you know, I'm here because I said that this is what I would do. Right? No, I think we owe it to ourselves and owe it to the other person to own, I am here in this relationship because this is what I choose. And this is what I want to choose today. Every day that we show up to our relationship, I think we need to be able to answer yes to that question. Is this the relationship that I choose, yes or no? And if the answer is no, then we either need to leave or figure out how to get to yes, right? So I think sometimes we can get in our head and be sort of mad about something or focused on something, and we're coming up with a no, but underneath the no is more powerful information that yields a yes, okay? So that yes is still in our body, but we are focused on something else. So that is the first thing that I want you to think about, basket case, and everybody who is considering what to do in their relationship, which is, I want you to ask yourself the question, is this relationship what you want to choose? Why or why not? And if you come up with the answer, no, this relationship is not what I want to choose, then you need to figure out why it's not what you want to choose. And you need to communicate that to your partner, you know? And I think sometimes the right answer is that we communicate the things to our partner that are why the answer is no, and that's something to work on, or work on together. But to be honest, if we are looking at our partner and thinking, you are lucky I'm with you. You are lucky to be with me. You're lucky I put up with this shit, basically. Who else would put up with this? The moment that we have said to ourselves, my partner is the lucky one, guess what? Our partner is not fucking lucky, because nobody is lucky to be with somebody who thinks that that person is lucky to be with them. You know what I mean? That's frankly, it's a put down to your partner. Alexia, would you want to be with somebody who felt like, oh, you know, Alexia, you're lucky that I'm with you?
Hell no, they're lucky to be with me. No, yeah, no, that's insane. And that's such a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I like what you said. They're lucky to be with me. I think the ideal, the ideal is the reverse. The ideal is that both parties in the relationship feel that they are the lucky one, right? That I feel in my relationship, damn, I am so lucky to be with my husband. I like hit the jackpot with him. And that my husband feel, damn, I'm so lucky to be with Sarah, right? I hit the jackpot with her. So that's the ideal. And I'll tell you, you know, I was in a relationship one time and I was running on the treadmill and I remember having this hit me like a ton of bricks, and some stuff was going on, you know, that was annoying me in the relationship. Some things that I saw as, you know, character flaws, but minor character flaws. And I remember thinking to myself, man, he's so lucky that I'm with him. Other people wouldn't tolerate this as well as I do. He's lucky. And then right in that moment, it hit me. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. He's not lucky, because I'm sitting here on the treadmill saying to myself, he's so lucky. And he could probably find someone who sees all of the same behaviors that I see, but thinks to themselves, this is no big deal. This is nothing. The wonderful qualities about him far outweigh those, what I saw as bad behaviors, right? And so like in that moment, I knew that as soon as I had that thought that he was lucky, he was no longer lucky. And that I needed to either not feel that way anymore, or I needed to end the relationship, because it's not fair to be in a relationship with somebody who you think is lucky to be with you, as opposed to the other way around. And I do think that all of us can get to a point in our development where we can have a partnership with somebody and each person in that partnership will feel like they're the one who lucked out. So basket case, this is my way of saying, and to everybody, that I think one key decision-making tool in deciding what to do about our relationship is to ask ourselves, you know, is this what I desire? Is this relationship what I want to say yes to? Why or why not? But also checking ourselves. If we have the thought like, this person is so lucky that I'm with them. And when we start to feel that way, we need to start to seriously consider whether this relationship is what is correct for us to continue. Because if that way of thinking goes on for too long, it can contaminate the relationship and really become kind of a poison in the life of both people. I want to share with you another tool from John and Julie Gottman that's relevant to this, which is the Gottmans let us know not only what allows relationships to thrive, but also what ruins relationships. And what they say is that there's four ways of communicating in a relationship that corrode the relationship and lead to its eventual downfall. And let's see if I can remember them all. The four ways of communicating that basically suck and will destroy your relationship are criticism, which means, you know, being like, you never, you always, or whatever. Stonewalling, which means when your partner comes to you with something and, you know, maybe it's a challenge or an uncomfortable area, or they just want to talk about something and you just shut down or ignore them, or basically you're unwilling to communicate. You turn into a stone wall. Defensiveness, which can be a response to criticism, which means saying, it's not my fault, it's your fault, right? So unwilling to accept any type of blame or responsibility. And then the last one is contempt. And contempt means looking down on your partner, seeing yourself as superior. And I think that contempt very much relates with this concept of seeing your partner as lucky to be with you. And if you are with somebody who you think you are superior to, that relationship has got to go. Because at the end of the day, you are superior to no one. You know, part of what this miraculous life is about is owning that we are all of equal value and equal worth. And it can be hard in a relationship if we are with somebody who is choosing values and choosing behaviors that are not what's aligned with what we believe to be the best way of operating, the way of operating that is most in line with what is valuable and important and meaningful to us. And so I think that the people that we're closest to are often the ones who we feel the most superior to, right? Who we adopt this attitude of contempt towards. And we begin to sort of devalue them. So basket case, I don't think you're doing all of this in your letter. I'm just sort of going into it now because I feel passionately about this concept. But this is to share with all of you listening that if you get into a place in your relationship where you're feeling superior, or you're starting to feel contemptuous, or you feel like your partner is lucky to be with you, then you need to reassess whether you want to be in that relationship. And again, if you can't get to a yes, then you have to go through the painful process of ending that relationship. But if you can get to a yes, then you want to make sure that that yes is coming from a deep and meaningful place. And I would say, you know, if you're having this fed up feeling, or having this feeling like, oh, you know, he's so lucky to be with me, she's so lucky to be with me, and then you ask yourself, well, is this what I desire? Is this relationship what I want to say yes to? And you find yourself saying yes, then I think that that is often coming from one of two places. One is a place of being too scared to end the relationship, right? Like the relationship being a security blanket or a comfort zone, in which case I think that is something that we have to dive into the cold pool, right? We have to figure out how to face that fear. But if the yes is really true, I think that that is usually coming from a place of seeing some of those values that we value deeply, seeing some of our most core and meaningful priorities in that other person, and seeing the things that we are currently focused on as relatively superficial. Okay. So I think the main time when we're feeling like no, but deep down the answer is yes, is when we're focused on some superficial shit. Okay. So that's what I want you to look out for. If you're focused on some superficial shit and you're coming up with a no, then that is something for you to explore and break down. But if you are focused on some deep shit and you're coming up with a no, then that is probably something that is important to act on, and maybe consider whether it's time for this relationship to end. So thank you all for tuning in today to This Miraculous Life. I hope that you learned something. I want to just quickly summarize the key three things that we talked about, which is number one, when somebody comes to you with a pain, the correct answer is not to give them advice, but just to create space for that pain and respond with empathy. Secondly, learning and exploring and honing in on your core values, those principles that are most important for you to orient your life around in order to have a meaningful and fulfilling life. And in the people that you bring close to you, looking to see those values reflected, even if by accident. And we'll learn more in a future episode about how to hone in on those values. And then lastly, in deciding whether to continue a relationship or not, looking for an answer about, is this what I most desire? Yes or no? Looking for, am I feeling superior to this person? Yes or no? And if the feeling that no, I don't want to continue this relationship is coming up, checking yourself to see, is this coming from a deep place or is this coming from a superficial place? And if you are feeling superior, checking that as well and knowing that any relationship where you feel superior is not healthy to continue. So something has to change. So please tune in next week, every Monday at noon. And I would be happy to receive your letters. Maybe next episode, I will be responding to a letter from you. So please send us your letters at sarah@thismiraculouslife.com. And remember that in order to be considered for the show, the letter has to be 150 words or more. Eat your heart out and have a miraculous day.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.